You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
630 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.
Well, look at the Calgary Flames go. 1 minute into the second period, the Flames lead the New Jersey Devils 4-0. Andrew Mangiapane has scored twice, up to 7 goals on the season. Elias Lindholm has also scored. He's up to 7. And Milan Lucic has his first of the year. So the Flames taking it to the Devils 4-0 early in the second period. Also, Lightning and Penguins, they are scoreless with the second period just getting underway. Coming up tonight, Golden Knights and Avalanche, they're going to drop the puck in a few minutes, actually, and the Sharks and the Predators will square off. The Vancouver Canucks back home to take on the Minnesota Wild, and for already the third time this season, it'll be Winnipeg up against Anaheim, and another late one tonight, Montreal with a record of 1-5, taking on the 1-4-1 Seattle Kraken. That's what's going on the ice tonight. The Oilers practice today. We'll dive deeper into a couple of stories with them, but I can tell you their game tomorrow against the Philadelphia Flyers is on 6:30 Chad. The faceoff show will be at 6, and the game will start at 8. The Oilers sitting on that 5-0 record ever since they won in Vegas on Friday. Baseball tonight. It is, of course, game one of the World Series, Atlanta and Houston. It'll start in a few minutes as that series gets underway. The Atlanta Braves, who, interestingly enough, you know, through the 90s and into the early 2000s, were in the playoffs almost every year. And this being 2001, the 30th anniversary of one of the greatest World Series of all time, that 1991 showdown with the Minnesota Twins. I believe that was a worst to first series. Both teams had been in last place in their divisions the year before and then met in the World Series. The Braves won a dramatic National League Championship Series 4-3 over the Pirates and then took on the Minnesota Twins in the 91 World Series. Several thrilling games, including an extra inning, 12-inning win for the Braves in Game 3 at Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. The Braves then took game 4-3-2 to even up the best of 7-2-2. The fifth game was not close. It was 14-5 for the Braves over the Twins. So the home team wound up winning every game in the series. They went back to Minnie for game 6 and 7. And the Twins won game 6, 4-3 in 11 innings. That was a thrilling game. And the legendary Kirby Puckett with a home run in the bottom of the 11th to win it for the Twins. And then game 7, scoreless into the 10th. Scoreless into the 10th it went. And finally, the Twins able to win it. Certainly a fondly remembered World Series. Probably, you know, I mean, if for Canadian baseball fans, if you're going to talk about a World Series from that era, well, you're probably going to talk about 92 and 93 because the Blue Jays won it. Six-game series over the Braves in 92, and then another six-game victory over the Philadelphia Phillies on Joe Carter's dramatic home run to take it all in 1993. But 1991 certainly remembered as one of the most dramatic series of all time. So we'll see Atlanta and Houston go at it tonight. And like, it's funny with Houston because they used to be this kind of underdog favorite team or second favorite team for a lot of people because they were so bad for so many years. I mean, they were kind of, I mean, the Oilers had their decade of darkness where, you know, they were really bad and not really a playoff contender for, well, almost all of those years. And the Astros were kind of similar. I mean, I remember even a few years ago filling in for Bob Stauffer on Oilers Now and talking to somebody out of Houston saying, okay, like, how are the Astros building this? They got a lot of high picks. I mean, they had a stretch. I mean, they did go to the World Series in 2005 and then were just barely over 500 in 2006. And they were over 500 in 2008, but missed the playoffs. And then 09, 88 losses, 2010, 86 losses, and then 11, 12, and 13, 106, 107, and 111 losses, respectively. And then they improved to just 92 losses in 2014. And then they missed the playoffs in 2015. And a lot of people were like, hey, look, Houston's finally good. Let's get on their bandwagon. And then, oh, they kind of were cheated when they won the World Series. So that in 2017. So that's not good. I had a couple buddies say to me, like, we'll not cheer for Houston. Will not cheer for Houston. Go Braves, go whoever. Will not cheer for Houston because of the scandal with them banging the garbage pails to tip off the batters to the pitches. Anyway, that series gets going tonight. Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in this evening. Reed Wilkins with you. If you want to get in touch, you can do so on the hotline powered by CertainTeed, professional-grade building materials, 780-496-0063. Of course, that's also the number to text in. To email me, it's insidesports@630ched.com, and follow me on Twitter at Reed Wilkins, REIDWILKINS. So the Oilers once again practice today, getting ready for the Philadelphia Flyers tomorrow night. Philly got into town last night, so they skated after the Oilers practice today. Yeah, things going pretty well for the Oilers. I mean, of course, not perfect, but more good than bad as we move along here so far. And one of the positive points so far this year for Edmonton has been defenseman Evan Bouchard. You may remember about a month ago during the preseason, Dave Tippett called Evan Bouchard an X factor for the team on defense. And I asked Tip to follow up on that comment today.
Well, what I meant by that is we needed him to step up and take a bigger role. And there's one thing to say it, there's another thing to do it. And the X factor was whether he would be able to do it or not. And he's moving the right direction in a hurry, which is a good thing for us. So he's come in, he's took an extra minutes on that PK. His defending has been really strong. His puck movement is still good. So he continues to elevate his game, and his minutes go accordingly.
Well, yeah, his minutes have gone accordingly. As a matter of fact, when you just look at defensemen, Evan Bouchard is second on the Oilers in ice time. Darnell Nurse, of course, leading the way with 27.37 per game. And then you have Bouchard checking in at 20.15 per game, and he's had a couple of games up around 24 minutes. So, you know, I also asked Tippett about Bouchard taking a lot of this responsibility pretty quickly, pretty early in the season here.
Well, I think his maturity, being around, it's not like he's a rookie anymore. He's been around the league. He understands. He understands how to prepare. He understands how to practice. He understands what's wanted or what's needed from him to be successful with our team. So it's maturity of just becoming a good NHL player has given him the confidence and the wherewithal to jump in and get the job done.
So Bouchard, and look, obviously drafted 10th overall by the Oilers in 2018 out of the London Knights. Really good offensive defenseman in junior. You look at his draft year with the Knights, 87 points in 67 games. Played the first seven games of the following season with the Oilers. Went back to the Knights, 53 points in 45 games. And, then Bakersfield Condors, played the start of last season in Sweden. And yes, can shoot the puck. We've seen him pass the puck, but he's not just being relied on in offensive situations. He's also being used on the penalty kill. And again, if you talk about ice time, total time on the PK so far this season, Darnell Nurse number one, Evan Bouchard number two. And I asked Bouchard what he thinks it takes to be a good penalty killer.
I think it takes buying in. You really all have to be on the same page, and I think that's what we're doing right now. I think we're building chemistry with everyone out there. I think it's been pretty good so far as a whole.
Did you expect to have that role coming into the season, that you might be leaned on that much on the PK?
Really, I had no idea what to kind of expect. I think we tried different people at different places, and luckily for me, it kind of fit in there, and I'm happy to just play that role.
Well, he's doing a good job at it. I like Bouchard's ability to clear the puck once he gets it on his stick with the PK, and I think some of his skill helps there. He's good at finding a seam and being able to snap it down the ice, and I think he's really improved in a lot of areas, and Dave Tippett commented on Bouchard's growth as a penalty killer.
Well, he's a smart player, so he reads situations well. He's picked up our structure very well. He's willing to block shots, willing to sacrifice to get the job done, so... it goes along with the rest of his defending game. His defending game is, that's where he knew he had to put some focus on to become a good NHL player. Everybody knows he can move the puck and shoot the puck a ton, but to become an everyday reliable NHL player, you have to be able to defend. And he's come in and worked on that part of his game, both, you know, on the ice and off the ice. He's worked on, watched a lot of tape with Jimmy, and he's just becoming a real good player.
And of course, the story for Bouchard last season, and we talked about it on this show. Bob and I talked about it a lot on the Faceoff show. Stoff talked about it on Oilers Now. Was last season going to wind up hurting Evan Bouchard? That was one of the concerns. Like I said, he started last year in Sweden. He had 17 points in 23 games. Then the NHL season gets going, and he's with the Edmonton Oilers. And if you total the regular season and the playoffs, the Edmonton Oilers played 60 games in the 2021 season. Started in January, ended in for Edmonton in May, went to July, of course, for Tampa Bay and Montreal. Of those 60 games, Evan Bouchard barely played a quarter, didn't quite get to a quarter of them, played 14, had 2 goals and 5 points, looked okay when he did play. He was -2. So Evan Bouchard was with the Oilers all of last season and not getting into game action. So when this year rolls around, was that going to hurt him? That it was maybe not a lost season, but a season in which he could have played more against a high level of competition. Well, get this. Tippett said today that Bouchard wanted to stay in the NHL last year.
Well, if you asked Evan, and we asked him at points last year, do you want to go down and play? He said, no, I'm doing fine right here. So there's part of it that some guys maybe would like to just go down and freewheel and do it. He thought this was part of the education that he needed, and I think we're seeing the benefits of it now.
And Bouchard used last season as school time, as time to get an education. Here's what he said he learned last year.
I think you kind of learn the system, what it takes to be at this level. It's a lot of hard work and, a lot of minutes put into it. So I think last year really helped me grow as a person, as a player as well. So I think it was a benefit for me.
So you never got frustrated?
Well, it is a little frustrating. I think everyone wants to play. Nobody wants to sit in the stands, but you got to look at the positive side to it. You know, you're here, you're learning every day, and you just have to keep grinding away.
So there you have it from Evan Bouchard. And he's been fun to watch, and I think there are bigger things ahead for him as well. Eventually, he will be the primary point guy on the power play. Right now, that's Tyson Barrie. When they get to the second unit, it's usually Nurse and Bouchard who go on the ice. Eventually, it's going to be Evan Bouchard, you know, at least for the time being. And, of course, the pairings are going to change all the time. But, you know, Bouchard's been elevated in the lineup 5-on-5 to play with Nurse. And that pushes Tyson Barrie down in terms of how much he plays 5-on-5. I think eventually, and by eventually, we may not even be talking this season. We could be talking in future seasons. But eventually, Bouchard's going to be the guy on the power play as well. So far, so good for Evan Bouchard. Off to a fine start this season. Didn't even mention his stats. He has a goal and 3 points in 5 games for Edmonton. Okay, so that's some of the Oilers' story today. Again, the update on Mike Smith, same as yesterday. Doubtful for tomorrow against the Flyers. Mikko Koskinen expected to start with Stuart Skinner being the backup. The Edmonton Elks made a trade. You're going to hear from the guy that they acquired coming up between 6:30 and 7. Nick Arbuckle, quarterback, is going to be on the show, and I'll give you an update on that situation in Chicago with the Blackhawks. It's Inside Sports on 6:30, Chet. All right. thanks a lot for tuning in tonight, man. Quick start for the Braves. Still batting in the top of the first against Houston. Game one of the World Series. The Braves have jumped out to a 2-0 lead. Oilers in action tomorrow against the Flyers. Our coverage is going to start at 6. The game's at 8. Friday, Elks against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Countdown to kickoff at 6, and the game will start at 7:45 as the Elks try to keep their fading playoff hopes alive, or even just win a home game, which would be nice. 0-5 at Commonwealth Stadium so far this season. Well, you know, the situation with the Chicago Blackhawks is not a good one, and it's going to be a story that's probably going to keep unfolding here for a while. Basically, an independent review finding that the Blackhawks mishandled allegations that a assistant coach sexually assaulted a player during the team's run to the Stanley Cup in 2010. Stan Bowman has stepped down as the Blackhawks GM and president of hockey operations. The NHL has fined Chicago $2 million for, and I'll read a quote here, the organization's inadequate internal procedures and insufficient and untimely response. So basically you have Brad Aldrich, the former Blackhawks video coach. He was alleged to have sexually assaulted two players with the front office knowing about it and doing nothing about it. So that's where we're at now with this. Stan Bowman also stepping down from his position as general manager of the United States men's hockey team at the Winter Olympics. There is an extensive report online. It is 107 pages. I have not read all of it. I have read parts of it, and there are some, at best you're going to be uncomfortable if you read parts describing the alleged assault. So just a warning if you do decide to dive into it. But obviously it outlines a lot of things, and I think it calls we'll see how the NHL and certain teams handle the situation, for example, with Joel Quenneville, who is now coaching the Florida Panthers and denied knowing anything about this a few months ago. And now, you know, he is listed as one of the individuals who knew something about it. Same deal with Kevin Cheveldayoff, who was with the Hawks and is now, of course, working with the Winnipeg Jets. So some things to keep in mind, a pretty ugly story, you know, who knew what, when did they know it, and ultimately, you know, why was not more done about it. You know, Aldrich was fired, but even through that, you know, he still got to have his day with the Stanley Cup and was shown taking part in celebrations with the Chicago Blackhawks right after they won the Stanley Cup. So that is kind of the Cole's notes of that story. You know, I'm sure you've seen a lot more about it. And again, that entire report is online. It is not reading for the faint of heart, as I said, if you do choose to dive into that. Meanwhile, on the ice tonight, the New Jersey Devils are on the board, but the Calgary Flames still in control, leading that one 4-1 with 7:44 remaining in the first period. We'll have more on the Oilers as we move along tonight. We will also introduce you to the newest member of the Edmonton Elks, quarterback Nick Arbuckle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When we get back. Yeah, you know the deal. You sign up for that podcast, we'll get you an Inside Sports canned ham. Best canned hams in the radio business. Flames leading the Devils 4-1, 4 minutes left in the second period. All the scoring by Calgary in the first period. Lightning have now taken control against the Penguins. 3 goals in the second period. 4 minutes to go in period 2. Lightning 3, Penguins nothing. The Golden Knights with a 2-0 lead on the Avalanche. 5 minutes left in the first. Stevenson and Carlson, the goal scorers. Carlson's marker coming shorthanded. Later, Sharks at Predators, Wild at Canucks. Anaheim home to the Jets and the Canadiens and the Kraken coming up in the National Hockey League. Tomorrow, Oilers and Flyers at Rogers Place. Our coverage starts with the faceoff show at 6. Game's going to get going at 8 as the Oilers try to stay undefeated. Now into the bottom of the first in Houston. Game 1 of the World Series, the Braves leading the Astros 2-0. Well, a lot of changes with the Edmonton Elks at quarterback here in the last week or so. Trevor Harris, of course, was traded to Montreal. Taylor Cornelius is going to be your starter here. They're playing Hamilton on Friday, but we do have a new guy coming to town. Quarterback Nick Arbuckle acquired by the Elks today in exchange for a third-round pick and a negotiation list player. And if Arbuckle re-signs with Edmonton for next season, that pick is going to become a second-rounder. And I'm pleased to welcome Nick Arbuckle to Inside Sports. Hey, Nick, my name's Reed. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, Reed. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for hopping on the show. Obviously, it's been a bit of a crazy day for you. I understand you're still in Toronto. Do you have plans to, do you know when you're going to be heading out here?
My flight will be leaving out tomorrow morning, so I should be out there in Edmonton before noon tomorrow.
Okay, good stuff. You know, Nick, I've talked to dozens, if not hundreds of players who have been traded over the years. And I will make an assumption that it's never an easy experience, even if you think it might be a good career opportunity. Tell us how this played out for you.
The news was, just kind of broken me this morning. I was at the facility, getting ready for practice. Me and some of the other quarterbacks were watching film this morning together like we do every morning. Pinball just called me, our GM in Toronto. He called me into his office, kind of let me know what happened and gave me some reasons why. And I just spent the next like 2 hours of my morning, packing up my stuff, saying my byes to everybody. Got to get sent home and have a nice day off and, help my wife take care of the baby who has a little cold. So it was actually kind of good timing for me to be home and be able to take care of her. And we're just trying to figure it out on the fly and, what we're going to do and how this is going to work for us. But we're both really just excited for the opportunity to have a fresh new start in a city that we're really excited to be in.
Did you have any sense that a trade was coming or did this blindside you a little bit?
I had seen stuff in the media about the potentials of that, a few weeks ago. I think that started maybe back in like earlier October. And then I didn't see anything in the media about it for a while. I hadn't heard anything at any point from any of our coaches or GM, of course. And so I wasn't exactly sure what was going on. And it probably didn't blindside me quite as much as it would have if I had no idea that something could have happened or if something was in the talks. But, at least seeing some of that stuff in the media earlier on than that, I was the talks of trades, a couple weeks ago kind of had me prepared for the what-if scenarios and had my wife and I at least discuss what would probably happen or what we'd do if a trade did happen and what that would look like for us.
Well, you mentioned your wife and you mentioned a son or a daughter?
Daughter. She's 18 months old.
An 18-month-old daughter. So a very young child. And I think that's something that, we don't often talk about with athletes, how it affects the other people in their lives, their careers, the travel, the risk of injury. And as you're going through the suddenness of a trade. So tell us a little bit. I'm sure your daughter maybe isn't totally up to speed on what's happening quite yet, but how they handle this and how they deal with this type of news.
I think we've all handled it a little bit better, given the whirlwind of the past 2 years, or not even two full years have been for us from, being traded from Calgary to Ottawa and then going from Ottawa to Toronto. And then, just in this calendar year in 2021, this is my third team that I've been on. So it's the moves and the suddenness of moves and kind of the lack of knowing, I guess, you know, where you, or being able to project where you are and where your future is going to be, that's kind of become a realization to us. So it's a little bit easier for us to roll with the punches and just kind of adapt and adjust our plans and, you know, what we're doing and being able to, you know, stay happy and stay positive through it all. And, you know, there's so many great things that are, I know are going to be able to come from me being in Edmonton and being an Elk now. And my wife and I, we loved our time in Alberta and in Calgary in 2018, 2019. It was probably one of our favorite places we've been, you know, in our lives. So we're really excited to be able to be there and be back there. Yeah, we're really, really excited about it. And I think we're doing a lot better than we probably would have if this was maybe our first sudden move in our career.
Well, you mentioned your time with the Stampeders, and that was when I first got to see you as a player. Now you are coming to Edmonton. You know, I don't think you were a Stampeder long enough for fans here to really... really struggle with you joining the team. But, you know, I remember you playing for Bo Levi Mitchell that year and you had some awesome games. And I think you had a 37-10 win or something over Saskatchewan where you were pretty impressive. I believe you went 4-3. You'll correct me if I'm wrong, but how big was that? And I know, you know, it's tough to come in under a circumstance where a teammate and a friend gets injured, but how big for that was you for you just kind of proving to yourself like, yeah, I can play as a pro quarterback?
I mean, that was, I think it was, definitely the biggest moment of my football playing career because, you know, at that point it was the last year of my contract and, you know, last year of a 2-year deal. And in the previous year, I really hadn't been able to get on the field doing very much outside of, you know, quarterback sneaks and all that. So, you know, at that point, who knows if I'm going to be re-signed. You know, I've never really had an opportunity to prove myself to not only our own team, but, you know, the teams, other teams around the league that, you know, I could play at this level and improve myself as well. So being able to get that opportunity and the timing of it, you know, is not the way I wanted to make my showcase, you know, in the CFL. But fortunately, Bo was able to make a full recovery from his injury, as well as me being able to get enough playing time and film, you know, out there in Calgary and experience some great wins and some, you know, some great experiences with my teammates and coaches there, that I was able to translate that into multiple opportunities now to go to different places around the league and, you know, try to be a starting quarterback.
Nick Arbuckle joining us on Inside Sports. The Edmonton Elks acquired him in a trade this morning from the Toronto Argos. Look, Nick, you know the Elks are having a tough season with just 2 wins. And, you know, Taylor Cornelius is going to be the quarterback here, at least for the game against Hamilton on Friday. I'm just wondering how you approach the situation. Do you just sort of come in and say, I'm going to roll with it every day? Do you set goals for yourself? How do you look at this coming to the Elks?
I mean, I guess kind of the same approach I've taken every day here in Toronto and kind of just throughout my career. And that's just trying to come in and do the best I can to help everyone around me to the best of my abilities and also get better myself and, you know, improve on something. And for the first couple weeks here, I think the main focus for me is going to be improving on my knowledge and comfort in the offense and the system. It's, you know, a little bit different terminology than I've used before in my career at different places that I've been. So there'll be a little bit of learning there. Unlike when I was in Toronto, it was basically the same exact offense we ran in Calgary, more or less same terminology. So that's going to probably be my main focus here for the next few weeks, is getting really comfortable and trying to get acquainted with the offense and the terminology and calling plays, knowing, you know, where everybody is, and also just establishing relationships with the players and the team. You know, I've looked at this roster and seen film on Edmonton throughout the year, and it's a really very talented team and a lot of great players that I've been able to watch throughout my few years here in the league. And I'm looking forward to getting to work with Taylor and Dakota and just be part of the quarterback room, because we had a great quarterback room in Toronto. And, you know, I was blessed to be able to be with McLeod and Pipkin, and we bonded really well throughout the season and had a great friendship. So I know I'm really excited just to be back in a new quarterback room and make new friends and new relationships when I get out of my quarantine in Edmonton.
Right. Okay, so here's a fun one for you. a two-parter. How quickly after being traded did the Argos ask you to return your playbook, and how quickly did the Elks get you a new one? Because it sounds like you've already been able to take a look at some of the Elks stuff.
Yeah, you know, technology nowadays makes it pretty easy, because it's not so much of like the turning your playbook, you know, you've been traded or cut or anything like that. It's more like, you know, we all have the whole league uses this DV Sport 360 app, in which you can, you know, have all the film cut ups, all the games, practices, and then also your whole playbook is basically on there as well. And they can add new installs for each week. So, you know, after this morning, I went on my DV Sport app, and, you know, I'm no longer on the Toronto's profile for it, but I'm on Edmonton. So it was, as quick as that, of just logging into your app and you're on a different team looking at a different playbook.
Okay, I wonder how that worked. I like the image better though of you like reaching into your backpack and you have to pull out this, you know, really crumpled up big binder when you've been studying it, and the coach is like, "Give me your playbook, Arbuckle," and you got to throw it on the desk. But I guess that's just me watching too many movies. So Nick Arbuckle trying to get tonight on Inside Sports. Okay, I want to ask you this. I want to get to know you a little bit. Tell me about growing up in, and forgive me if I'm pronouncing it wrong, what was life like as a kid in Camarillo, California? Is that how you say it?
That is perfect. That is great pronunciation of that. Yeah. So, you know, my life growing up in my childhood was really great. My dad coached football. I had three older brothers. You know, everybody played football. My older brothers played football, played quarterback. And so it was kind of natural progression. I was always just on the football field since I was like 3 or 4 years old. And then as soon as I was old enough to play football and put on a helmet, I started playing. And I was always a really, really big kid. So I played offensive line from the time I started playing at 7 years old until going into eighth grade. I was always just an offensive lineman, and I was a good one. I was a really good athlete, but I was just a big guy. And finally, like I told my dad when I was going in eighth grade, you know, I was like, you know, I think I'm athletic enough and good enough to maybe play football beyond high school and go play in college, but I don't want to be a 300-pound human being. You know, I didn't want to have to be an offensive lineman and have to be as big as I would need to be to play college football at O-line. And so I was like, you know, I want to be like my brothers. I want to try to play quarterback. And he was really skeptical at first, you know, as he should have been. But then I started my quarterback career and I wasn't that great. As you know, my first time ever playing. And so I didn't start through high school, didn't start my senior year of high school. I lost the quarterback competition my senior year and didn't want to sit on the bench for my last year of high school. So I got moved to tight end so I could get on the field, and I was a captain of the team. They didn't want the captain on the bench either. So I started my whole senior year of high school at tight end, went on to junior college to play football there. And play quarterback to try to get a scholarship offer and get some film. And I did really well in California there, playing JUCO and broke some records and got D1 offers through that. And you know, worked my way eventually to be able to get a CFL opportunity, you know, a few years after I got done playing college football. But yeah, life and growing up in Camarillo was great, very warm. Didn't ever saw snow until I was in Calgary and in Alberta, but I'm pretty prepared for what an Edmonton winter is gonna about to bring on to me. But you know, it was great. If you have any other specific questions you want me to answer about it, I'm definitely an open book for it.
Well, you know what? We'll have to dive into that next time because I've taken up a lot of your time here, and I know you're getting ready to fly out here tomorrow. But let's have you on the show again. You're a great interview, and I think you got a lot of stories to tell. And we wish you all the best here as you join the Edmonton Elks, Nick.
Well, I appreciate you, and I'm always open to getting on and chatting with you whenever you want. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Right on. That is Nick Arbuckle checking in tonight on Inside Sports as he is joining the Edmonton Elks, traded this morning from Toronto for the Elks for a third-round pick, which becomes a second-rounder if he does indeed sign a new deal with the Elks. Good stuff from Nick. Yeah, absolutely. Wish him all the best. And the Elks getting set to take on Hamilton on Friday night. We're going to have a current member of the Elks, another great interview, by the way. We had him on earlier this season during training camp. Aaron Grimes is going to join us later on this evening. We'll take a quick timeout. Inside Sports on Chet. All right, 3-0 Braves leading the Astros top of the second. And the Flames up 4-1 on the Devils after 2. We'll give you the full scoreboard in a few minutes. I want to welcome back to the show. Really pleased to have Jerry Heraxy, chairman of the Spirit of Edmonton, checking in tonight. Hey, Jerry, how are things, man?
Excellent, Reed. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing very well. Thanks for popping on tonight. Just had Nick Arbuckle, new Elks quarterback on the show. So excited to see him join the club here. I know people with the Spirit of Edmonton are always excited. But you got a bit of an update here. Tell me what's going on now with the Spirit of Edmonton.
Yeah, you know, we've been tailgating outside the West Side for 3 or 4 years now. We've had huge success, all year this year and past years. And Alan Watt from the Eskimos gave me a call last week or 2 weeks ago and said, you know, you guys are so good at tailgating outside. Why don't you move your tailgate inside and make it a destination during the game? So we jumped at the opportunity to do that. I was so excited. So starting this Friday night, we're going to be located in the West Concession in the Jackie Parker Lounge. We're turning it into the Spirit of Edmonton in the Jackie Parker Lounge. We're going to have DJs. We're, for the first time ever, selling sluice juice inside the stadium, available in the Spirit of Edmonton room. Again, we have DJ. We're going to have the three large screens. We're going to be showing the game. It's going to be nice and warm in there, and it's all ages. So, family members, minors, everybody can come in and we'll watch the game. We'll listen to some music. We'll have some fun. And just people that haven't experienced what the Spirit of Edmonton is all about can come on out and have a great time and say hi to us. And, you know, we're just really looking forward to another way to support the Elks organization.
Well, that's awesome. So they got the home game this Friday and then another one next weekend to close out the home schedule. How early can people come in for that?
So we're going to be open. Well, outside, we always open about 2 hours before the game. So I'll be outside, serving some samples of sluice, and we've got elk sausage, and we're doing clam chowder this game. So come on by outside. And then when the gates open 1 hour prior to the game, we'll have our DJ inside in the Jockey Parker Lounge playing some tunes for 1 hour prior to the game, and then going all night long till about 45 minutes after the game, or however long the party's going to go, we'll be there. So again, really looking forward to it. And if it's a little chilly outside, you know, come on in. It's funny, I've been sitting on the east side of Commonwealth Stadium for 35 years, and I know all the east siders out there listening probably haven't been over to the Jackie Parker Lounge, but make that trek across the stadium to the west side and come on into the Spirit of Edmonton and Jackie Parker Lounge, because it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Well, good for you guys for doing that. So thanks for updating everybody tonight. Before I let you go, I know we talked about it briefly earlier this season. Grey Cup's coming up. Are you guys going? What do we know?
Yeah, all your listeners tonight will be probably the first to hear it, that we have decided 100% to represent the Elks organization and the Spirit of Edmonton in Hamilton. We are just finalizing contracts with our venues for our evening show, which is going to be much smaller than we've ever done because, restrictions were just lifted in Ontario, and we need to be responsible and not do typical Spirit of Edmonton. It's going to be still a fantastic, fun time. And watch our website for information on our breakfast. We will be doing a full Spirit of Edmonton breakfast on the Saturday morning in Hamilton. And once we get the contract signed, we'll be putting everything out on social media. And I'll probably give you a call as well just to make sure that everybody knows. But we're really looking forward to representing again and being in Hamilton in December.
See, that's why you're so good at representing the Spirit of Edmonton and talking to guys like me in the media, because you break a story with me live on the air, but also tell me there's more to come. So that's always great for
me. We love
you guys.
Doing it, you know? Yeah.
Jerry, right on. Thanks a lot for checking in. Hope to see you Friday. If not, you and me personally, thousands of others will. So
perfect.
Good luck.
Yeah, we're there. This Friday and next Friday. So hope to see everybody in the Jackie Park Lounge, Spirit of Edmonton room inside. Come in and stay warm.
There it is. Jerry Hraksy from the Spirit of Edmonton. And as he tells you, they have finalized plans to go to the Grey Cup in Hamilton. They're going to have their full breakfast and more announcements to come.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.